Get Up with Cliffo and Loggy. Check it out.
Turn it up, you're my radio. Cliffo and Loggy's catch up.
It's not easy to make a difference in this world, but locals Matt O'Hanlon and his partner Ali Duggan are trying to do just that, make a difference. And they're going to be trekking to Everest Base Camp to raise money for the Leukemia Foundation. We've got Matt here to tell us all about it with no hiking ability on him.
Matty, my boy.
But he's got a dream. Good on you, Matt.
How are you, brother?
Hey, guys. Morning.
What makes you think you can hike to Everest Base Camp when until you decided to do this, you hadn't even walked Castle Hill?
No, I know. It sort of just popped up on Al's radar, and we thought, why not? Why not try and give back a little bit as much as we could for it? And, yeah.
Look, you say trekking. You realise that Castle Hill is like a walk. Have you ever even put up the treadmill on a bit of an incline?
No.
You might want to start.
What is the training schedule?
Like that. I think, it used to be walking to the letterbox and back, but now it's pretty intense. Like Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, we're sort of in the gym. Tuesday, Thursdays, we're doing a boxing section with the guys in at BT Fight Central.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're doing a bunch of hill sessions as well. So we are trying to get in the hill as much as we can and doing a couple laps of it. So not just sort of top and bottom, but going up the road, down the goat track, or up the goat track, down the road, then back again, and that sort of thing. So it is pretty cool. Like we're dropping a lot of weight, and you're feeling a lot fitter than we were sort of 6 months ago. So it's definitely working.
I'm with Loggy. I think Castle Hill's more of an incline than an actual Everest-style trek.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Anything's good at this point, I reckon. How are you going to go with the cold? Because you're a North Queensland boy, and it's cold in Nepal, particularly trekking up that mountain. You got the thermals ready?
Yeah, we got the thermals ready, and it gets colder every day because you're going that little bit higher. So they reckon you'll need sort of three layers of thermals, some mild stuff, and then some heavier stuff, and then then your jacket on top of that. But it's the sort of fine print in there that they don't tell you about, because you look at the pictures and things like that and think, that looks pretty amazing. But
that looks beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to... Then you read this little print and they tell you about it and walk along the track. So each day, like, you've got no bathrooms or anything like that. So I don't know how you're going to go, especially when it's like minus 15 degrees to the top. And you get in there and then you've got to pull three thermals off to go to the loo along the track. And the worst part of it all is you can't leave your paper there. You got to drop that off somewhere else. So you're going to have to take the paper with you.
I'm sure you'll have a clean snap. That thing would be frozen when it comes in.
It'll be like that scene in Dumb and Dumber where it's like, just go all over me. Speaking of getting higher, you know, and getting colder, the higher you get, the less oxygen there is too, right?
Yeah, there is, yeah. So, and because you sort of, I guess, ascending quite quickly, the oxygen in your blood will get less and less, and so it's not like you're going to be drunk or anything like that effects, but you can get fairly sick. There is some tablets and things that you can take, but you can get a bit sick from it.
Okay. Yeah, it's intense. Now, look, Matt, you have decided to raise money for the Leukemia Foundation for a very personal reason. Can you tell us a bit about your journey?
Yeah, we did. It's not something we sort of expected to do or we're sort of looking at doing or anything like that, like we were talking about before, but Ma got leukemia back in January there, and it was sort of just a shock to us. We were just having like tea one day, and then the next day we were up at the hospital surrounded by seven or eight different specialists from different departments and things like that, and they pulled us out into the corridor and said, look, it's leukemia, and so that was a bit shocking for us, and they started sort of chemo tablets and on it straight away from the next day from the moment we were sort of there. So it was really, really good support from all the guys up at the hospital from the second we sort of walked in the door. And then there were so many up and downs, like she'd get better and then she got worse and she got better and then she got worse and things like that. So everyone up there from the cleaners up into the bosses of the oncology unit were very, very good with us through the whole time. And we just wanted to give back to as much as we could for that sort of thing. And it's not just us. Like, 35 people every day get this thing, leukemia stuff. So it's a big deal. So we just want to help as many people as we can.
It is. And what a way to honour your mum's memory. You're an absolute legend. Wishing you nothing but luck. If anyone wants to donate, head to hit.com.au. And about 10 o'clock this morning, your whole story is going to go there on our page. But, yeah, hit.com.au. Matt, you are an absolute legend. Best of luck. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Cliffo. Thanks, Loggy. And, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Get Up with Cliffo and Loggy.
Townsville's Hit 103.1.
On the project last night, they were chatting about this evil monster who has injured a lot of us and is continuing to do so. It's called the Humble Trampoline, Cliffo. And apparently trampoline centres, they're those centres where, you know, there's a bunch of trampolines and it's all padded and everything. People are still getting really injured.
The injuries can get pretty severe. Fractures, broken bones, even spinal cord injuries. So what's meant to be a day of fun can quickly go south.
I've never been to a trampoline centre before, but
I haven't either.
God, I had my share of hits and very near misses on our trampoline in the backyard growing up.
Well, this is the thing. I'm kind of like, how can you injure yourself on a trampoline nowadays? You don't know what it was like back in the 90s. There were heavy springs. Yeah. There was a lot of chance to fall off. It wasn't all locked in.
Oh, mate.
You know.
Trampolines now have more fencing than Alcatraz.
Oh, like, yeah.
They are ridiculous.
And it just, I want to talk trampoline injuries because, well, I think we've all got a great story from our childhood. My personal favourite was when the old double bounce, it can get you.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of you will go up and the other one won't. And me and my cousin were on the trampoline, the old double bounce. I double bounced her. She went over the fence, landed head first.
You slung shot her.
I slung shot her accidentally
over
the
fence.
Broke her collarbone. Bang. Landed head first. Oh,
see,
the worst.
Much lesser injury, but the one I remember, and it wasn't actually an injury I copped like you, it was my brother, but I was jumping on the trampoline, and I've always been a chubby guy. I was a pretty heavy set kid. So when I used to, you know, go down on the trampoline, those springs used to stretch right on out.
Yeah.
And he stupidly was leaning on the springs. And you know that webbing in between your thumb and your pointer finger?
Oh, yeah.
It got caught between two, you know, the springs as it closed up, and it pretty much cut the webbing. In his finger. So
see,
I remember Mum had to put like 3 or 4 Band-Aids like across it to cover the width of the cut.
See, I think the springs would be the main offenders in the old school trampolines.
Yeah. The springs or landing heavily off the trampoline. Like they're the two.
Definitely the two. Although some of us have gone all the way through it. 13, 12, 16. Give us your trampoline injury.
Trampoline injuries. Townsville on 13, 12, 16. Did you cop a trampoline injury? Did you witness a trampoline injury? 13, 12, 16. Trampoline injuries. Caitlin, what have you sustained?
It wasn't me. It was my son when he was 3 years old, so a couple of years ago now. We just put the trampoline up a couple of days before Christmas for the kids, and it had the net and everything. And my hubby was on the trampoline with the 3-year-old, and he was crawling over to pull the zip down.
Yeah.
And he bounced the 3-year-old off the trampoline, out of the enclosure, and he's sliced his head open on the corner of the house.
Oh, no!
How did he bounce? Like, did he bounce him over the fence or through the zip?
No, he's gone through the zip through the opening because he's so light, and hubby just crawling towards the zip to zip it down and bounced him out and sliced his head down to the bone.
Oh, man.
It's like a 1 in 100 shot too to get it like through that little
that
zip.
Is actually, it's like a bullseye.
Yeah.
Well done. 13, 12, 16. Hey, who's this?
Chloe.
Chloe.
Chloe, trampoline injury. Do you still remember one?
Yes, I do, actually. When I used to live in Rasmussen, you know, as a kid, everyone, all the kids, same yard sort of thing, I was on the trampoline with two of my friends, and we decided to invite their massive staffy up on the trampoline with us.
Oh, no, yeah.
God, that's a heavy dog.
The dog, I kind of went up with the whole double bounce thing, but I smack-banged into the dog, and fell off the trampoline, landed straight on my back and broke my elbow.
Oh, see, the double bounce will get you. It's
and
dangerous.
A staffy, like you may as well put a cinder block on there. You're going to put a staffy on there. Like that's a heavy, meaty, weighty dog. One more, 13, 12, 16. Who's this?
It's Anita. How are you going?
We're great, Anita, but I'm sure that's you good. Probably weren't so great one time in the past. What happened with you and a trampoline?
It was my sister and it was under our shed. And we used to climb up on the shed and jump onto it.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't allowed to do it, and we knew Dad was home, so we all jumped off at the same time. And my sister got overbounced, and she was flying like Superman, and she landed on top of the clothesline.
Oh, my God. Another thing you're not allowed to do is swing on the clothesline.
Yeah, landed on the clothesline. She had massive wire marks all across the tummy.
Oh, no.
That's, yeah, like, the evidence is there. There's Hill's hoist marks right there on
forever.
Your stomach. You're not getting away with that.
Get up with Cliffo and Loggy.
Townsville's Hit 103.1.
I got a confession to make, Loggy. I know absolutely nothing about guns. I don't know how to load a gun. I don't know how to use, like, that little safety thing on the side of a gun. I couldn't pull a gun apart if you paid me, and I'm sure I'm a horrible shot. And I feel lucky that I know nothing about guns.
Like, great point.
I think you, me, you know, everyone listening right now in Townsville, we're kind of lucky that we live in a country where guns aren't really a thing. And, of course, the reason I bring this up is that 16 beautiful kids are dead in America this morning after another mass shooting in Florida. This was at another school. 16 kids dead and a coach. More will probably die. There's a lot in critical condition. This is the 18th mass shooting to unfold in America this year, and it's halfway through February. There's been 18 mass shootings in the United States. The 19-year-old gunman, former student of the school, very, very severely mentally ill former student. He shot all these people dead with his own guns. They weren't anyone else's guns. He legally bought semi-automatic weapons himself. And the president of the United States' answer to all of these mass shootings, 18 so far this year, he's actually trying to pass legislation at the moment to make free carry easier in America. Now, if you're not sure what free carry is, it's pretty much being able to holster a gun to you, like police do.
Yeah.
But citizens can do that. Currently, that's sort of a state-legislated law, so different states in America have different rules, but he wants to make one national sort of relaxed policy where everyone can pretty much free carry. So you can nip to Coles with a gun attached to you.
I don't feel like I would ever be able to feel safe. I don't know how they do it overseas. I think it's just, if someone came in here right now with a gun, even if it was a cop, I automatically feel uncomfortable. Like, I have to shield myself in the sense that there's something in this room that could fire. How do they go about their every day seeing guns on people's belts? Like,
could you imagine sitting down the Strand having fish and chips? And there's someone, I don't know, maybe even in their active wear or whatever, jogging with a gun holster to them.
It's a bizarre thing.
There are now enough guns in America for one for every citizen of the United States of America. There's enough weaponry in that country for one gun per person. And there's a lot of people.
There's heaps.
In America. So
Trump's not saying anything about it.
Oh, no. I mean, he's done speeches and stuff overnight our time. He's addressed this latest massacre, and he didn't even mention the word gun, you pointed out this morning.
Not once.
Did not mention
said,
the word gun.
We will try and do as much as we can to support people with mental health issues and help with mental health issues.
So it's not the guns' fault.
It's not the guns, you know.
Not the guns in the States. You know, life gets crap. Bills and stress. And do you know what I mean? Work and all that. We live in the lucky country. We are very lucky that we live in this country when you look at the way they operate over there.
Cliffo and Loggy. Weekday mornings from 5. Townsville's Hit 103.1.